Black Hero.
Welcome to the Lane and Wayne podcast. First ever Lane and Wayne podcast. New show we're starting off. It's going to be a debate show. We're going to try and do once or twice a week. Just debating a few topics from the current events of sports right now. So again, my name's Lane Lemon. This is my co-host Wayne Thomas. Wayne, how you doing today? Shoot, not too bad. It's Friday. I can't complain. Got the weekend off.
You good? How about you?
Yes, sir. So, what are we gonna get started with?
Lucky you. Can't wait to get started.
Oh yeah, I'll have it on. Not much college on, so.
You watching some NBA tonight?
Doubleheader or ESPN doubleheader?
Yes, sir. I think this is the first full night since the All-Star break.
Well, they played last night.
She'll be pretty excited to see what teams are focused on.
So you said the first full slate.
Playoff race.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we had some games. Gotcha. Yeah, I think this is the first full slate where, like, all our teams play. But, yeah, we did have some games. Like, we had an exciting game last night. I saw the highlights. I didn't watch it.
Saw the highlights. A good comeback. Much-needed win for the Lakers coming out of the All-Star break. I always forget how the NBA season structured, how they play like two-thirds of the season and then they have the All-Star break. So the second half of the season is really only like 20 games. 25.
Yeah.
So that's always interesting. 25 games, baseball, and stuff like that. Yeah. They have it halfway through the season. And it's like, okay, we're at the halfway point. We got a long way to go. Well, really, in basketball, you don't have that long to close any gap. But you need to get closed. Good example being the Lakers, being like what the ten seed right now.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Exactly. Because can't wait. Come April, that's playoff time right there. Then playoffs start in April.
Yep.
So yeah, they really don't have that long.
He made some good plays, made some good passes.
LeBron seemed like he was really focused last night.
Some shots, finally somebody
really focused. Anybody that leaves the Pistons get better. It's just nothing. It's just a fact.
I had tuned in.
Let's get into the All-Star break.
I watched a little bit of the celebrity game, but then I watched all of the second night and third night.
Yeah, I'm not really into the celebrity game that much. But I watched the rookie.
I think it's still only first and second year.
USA versus what? The world?
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Rising Stars.
Right. They used to call it rookie versus sophomore, but I enjoyed that game.
Luka killing it.
We got some talented young players coming in. Luka,
yes sir.
Your boy.
Well, let's get into
Luka
the first Donnie. Topic of
He's
actually
good,
speaking
man.
Of the All-Star games.
It's gonna be the future.
First topic of debate is: do you still find the All-Star game exciting? I mean, we got a lot of different activities that go on from the celebrity game, and you got the Rising Stars or the world versus USA, then skills challenge, 3-point contest, dunk contest, and then the actual game. So there's a lot to digest there, but do you look forward to it?
Me personally, I do. I enjoy it. I enjoy the All-Star game, of course. I enjoy the 3-point contest. The dunk contest is kind of falling off, but eventually it was going to have to fall off, right? How many times are we going to see the same dunks? But I feel like people are missing the dunks now. Like, they're no longer like... I remember back earlier when Vince Carter and guys like that, Dominique and Michael Jordan, those dunks were made, like, on the first attempt, second attempt. These guys are taking, like, 6, 7, 8 attempts in order to complete a dunk.
No, yeah, that's
so it
for
becomes
sure.
less society. It's only,
think,
like, human nature.
You know, with the dunk contest more recently,
society,
especially they've let younger guys in there. I don't know if that's just kind of a trend that the NBA is trying to set or if it's just that no one that's been in the league for a while really wants to participate in a contest like that. But I mean, I agree. I look forward to it every year. I definitely think it's the best of the three or four major sports, you know, all-star events. I don't really like the Pro Bowl. And I don't really ever watch it. Yeah, baseball is nice too. I do.
Oh yeah, it's definitely probably the best between this one and MLB. Probably be the best. Mm-hmm. I prefer baseball only because it means something. Like the winner of the
World Series,
All-Star game gets home. What is it, like home field advantage? So for the World Series, so it actually means something. I wish it was a way for the NBA to do it that way, or I wish it was a way for the NFL to. There's no way the NFL is going to incorporate because it's in a different city every year. But NBA, if it was a way for them to do it where they could take it more seriously, that'd be better. But I do enjoy the new format that they have.
With Team Giannis and Team LeBron.
Their own teams. Mm-hmm. I enjoy that format, man. I think it's
so there are some really fresh nice things that we do enjoy. Yes. I mean, you see guys running around.
I think it's really nice to see.
Challenge. Jason Tatum just jogging. Trey Young was the only one really putting in any effort. He was like the kid in gym class that's trying harder than everybody else.
Yeah, he was trying really hard.
That's right. But
trying to make a name for yourself.
I can see where people's disdain is for the All-Star game and All-Star weekend. Just it's more laid back than some people would like. I mean, I really like to just showcases off the freak athleticism that these athletes do have. And even in the All-Star game,
right?
You see it in the fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter, they do start trying a little bit more. But from before that, it's really just kind of a moving dunk contest. Yeah, exactly. And that's because it doesn't mean anything. So until it
basically
means something,
there's no defense being played
somebody, or you're paying one of the team's winners $500,000 a person, something to incentivize some competitiveness, I think it would really spike up, the popularity of it. But
right. But I like the idea of the home court advantage because most of the guys that's on the All-Star teams, they're in the playoff hunt, right? So you would think they would want their team to get the home field
advantage. But in that sense, you'd have
if
to
they
eliminate
believe their team is going
to
get
Team Giannis, Team LeBron, and go back to East versus West. But I agree that that it would be cool. But yeah, then you'd have to take out the other aspect that they have added to it.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
That's true. That's
yeah,
true. That's
yeah,
true.
The money thing, I agree with
no,
that.
No, the money thing will work, man.
Everybody would be down with that. I'm pretty sure the NBA has it.
Yeah, because who doesn't want more money? But as far as the dunk contest goes, I think it's time we start getting the bigger names back into it. Like, that's just only a good business thing.
There's no reason why we should
be drawn
have
to a certain event.
Next season,
you have to have
Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine, Blake Griffin. And name somebody else. I mean, anybody.
Actually, they just tweeted out. Well, a guy just tweeted out and said he wants to be in a dunk contest. And then a guy saw that tweet and said he'll be in it if he's in it. So Giannis tweeted that I'm doing the dunk contest next year. And Donovan Mitchell followed that tweet with
I believe he said, for sure.
I'll do it.
Giannis,
one
of the biggest names.
So that's two big names.
Definitely.
That's bigger than the names
Donovan
we had
Mitchell
this year.
Competed in it before? Yeah, I think he was too. I thought so.
I think he was in it last year.
I don't mind repeats at all, especially guys like LaVine,
which is fine. I don't mind him coming back. He had a pretty,
that might have that might have been the most the best like competitive back and forth.
Oh, I would love for him to come
contest
back.
that LaVine and Aaron Gordon. I saw that on Facebook the other day, bro. That reminded me of how crazy
I 100%
that was.
Agree. But they could just. Oh yeah, it was a pretty good dunk contest. Pretty. That might be one up there with maybe the Jordan and Dominique. It might be up there with that type of dunk contest. But you could give us that four, and I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Give us Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine, Giannis,
like Giannis
and Donovan Mitchell, and I'm happy.
Not that high off.
I'm
the
already
ground,
excited.
So still gonna be yamming because he's so tall. He's about to jump from the 3-point line
His
and dunk.
His arms are so long, though, so he can, like, reach so far back. Exactly. Man, that's exciting to see.
Bring out the 12-foot rim.
If you can get that, like, or maybe top of the backboard type stuff, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I thought it was
what did you think about the 3-point contest?
This year than I think it has been in the years past, just because so many guys just went off in the first round.
Right.
I mean, I would like to see you as the variation
much
in,
as the dunk contest,
the rounds, and just something a little bit different. I mean, there's not much you can do with it, but
I think it needs to be a third round.
Say, it's, and it seems two, a little bit like
two rounds. It's not enough.
How many
we need three
rounds this year.
Yeah, that's what I wonder. They have like I think it's like 12 guys in the first round, and then they'll bring like four guys
into
the second round.
That's what it should be.
But why not?
That's what it always has been. That's not like back in the day.
Two guys, yeah.
It's a bracket system. I mean, I don't understand why they can't do that on Saturday night.
I believe so.
It's not like they have much else to do because all they have after that is a dunk contest. That's over by 9:30.
They should because I would have enjoyed to see a third round with Steph Curry versus Joe Harris.
I would have liked to see
Joe Harris again, shooting
one on one.
Crazy
Steph.
Man, he was on fire. So that would have been nice, man. Steph, it was in Charlotte, so you know Steph was trying to put on the show. It would have been nice to see a third round, you know. But
yeah,
I mean, I
agree.
Nonetheless,
so overall, man, I mean,
it was still a good contest.
Overall, grief for the first topic on a debate show. It's not a very good sign. But I think our next topic is going to get a little bit dicier. Most part, the All-Star break, we like it. There's some tuning up to do, but for the most part, we need.
I got one little question for you though.
No, I didn't watch it.
I don't know. Did you watch the draft of Giannis versus LeBron? Correct. Do you? But you know LeBron took KD first, right? Do you think that was by plan? Like, do you think,
I mean, I think
he didn't want to face KD?
He picked him last year first, too.
Or he just picked, he was just picking best players. Because if we really want competition, it would have to be KD versus LeBron. Them the top two players in the NBA, right? We most would say.
Give up. I mean, if you're going to give the choice to LeBron, he's going to take the best player with the first pick. So, yeah. For the competitive standpoint, but
I'm not saying he's wrong at all. I'm just saying, like, from a competitive standpoint, if the Giannis would have got, I think the contest might have been a little bit closer.
I would have liked to seen LeBron.
And
I mean,
KD, and then LeBron and Steph.
I almost value Steph a little bit more than KD, just because of the looseness and just the, you know, him being able to shoot wherever he wants. He didn't have a very good game for Steph's, you know, standards, but you're right. I mean, I guess that's kind of a dumb comment to make.
KD brought him back, honestly,
in reality. But,
no, but I mean, he just didn't have
video game stats.
That's what Steph would do. People go crazy over Steph Curry.
But we'll go into the.
Right.
Oh yeah, I mean, I agree. It was very high scoring.
But the actual game was
just a lot of first half standing around. Yeah.
178-164.
I really didn't.
That was a high score.
I really didn't even enjoy the game at all.
That's crazy.
Money
you couldn't even get that on 2K if you tried.
But that was to you. So, well, I didn't lose money. We broke even.
That sucks.
But still.
But
yeah, broke even. But I could have been up. So, but yeah, let's move on.
We broke even on that one.
What's up? Oh, the first bet was Joe Harris. Well, you took Steph.
What was the first bet?
Somebody else in the field.
What was the first bet?
Devin Booker in the field. I had the field.
I took Steph and Devin Booker.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right. Yep. And I took Steph and Devin Booker. And Devin Booker let me down, man. He let me down.
Yeah, because we bet on the dunk contest.
We bet back on the actual All-Star game.
I screwed myself because you said – we won't get into that.
Right.
Well, we're now we're on to the second half of the second half of the NBA season.
Hey, listen, well, we broke
it. Or second, third, I guess you'd call it. We're going to move on to the next topic of debate, and that is the Eastern Conference – sounds kind of silly seeing LeBron move to the West. And before that, when LeBron was in the East, we looked at the West as this big, bad, dominant conference. Now he moves to the West, and the East all of a sudden looks like they have more contenders than ever, or than in the last couple of years. With the four teams, you got Toronto, you got the 76ers, the the Celtics, and help me out with the fourth one. Milwaukee is the fourth one. Yeah, the Bucks.
Toronto. So you said Toronto, Celtics, Milwaukee.
These four contenders where
yeah.
I don't know about you, but I can't really point out a favorite there in the East. And it kind of begs the question, is the East, you know, catching up to the West? Are they as strong as the West now? Are they stronger than the West overall? Obviously, you've got I just look at the West as being kind of top heavy. But maybe the Golden State being as good as they are, that makes that look that way when it's not really true. And maybe the West is as strong as ever. What's your take on that?
In my opinion, I think the West is still better than the East because the top four teams in the East is amazing. But after that, nobody's afraid of Indiana, to be honest. And they're in the top four, actually. Indiana's ranked. Well, right now, as of today, they're number three. They're a three seed. But I don't think anybody's afraid of Indiana, especially without Victor Oladipo. Nobody's afraid of Brooklyn, Charlotte, Detroit. I can't even believe the Detroit Pistons is in the playoffs with the stupid decisions they continue to make. But if you look at the West, you got Golden State. We already know about them.
Who's scared of Denver, though?
Is it? Pretty good team, super young.
That's my point.
They're pretty good.
Who's scared of Denver? Okay. Who's scared of Houston? I mean, I can be kind of scared of Houston, but look what they did against the Lakers last night. They don't play defense.
I wouldn't.
And I'm not saying I'm taking the East, but I'm saying there's a discussion that we have because I thought the same thing as you. Okay. Yeah, the East is still weak. They've only got those. But those four teams, I'm scared of all four of those teams. And I can't find four teams in the West that I'm scared of at this point. I mean, yeah, I like Denver. I do. They're but I heard something the other day that in the playoffs in the NBA, depth isn't as big of a factor as you think it would be. Because you know they tend to shorten the rotation in the playoffs, and that's one of Denver's strengths is the rotation. So are they going to have those guys whenever? Are they going to keep rotating? 10 men in and out, or are they going to have those guys that lineup they can keep in and sustain the lead with?
I mean, that's a good point. But at the same time, just because, another team is doing it a certain way, don't mean you got to change what works for you. You know, the two seed, they're a really good
seed
home team. So them being the two seed,
that's a good point. Very good point.
They're pretty much
Denver
home court advantage
very
until they see Golden State.
I think what do they have? Barely any losses. That's crazy. So yeah, that's
four losses
big,
at
that,
home.
That makes the last 20 games very important. They don't drop down to three or four or five. If they can try and sustain that too from over OKC.
One more point I wanted to point out. Okay, so look at the West. The bottom of the West. Everybody in the West, the top, all the way to the top 10, is at least 500 or better in the West. In the East, the number 8 seed is four games under 500. So that's just my only point is the top, the 7th and the 8 seed are both under 500. And that's my only... I can't put the East above the West simply because you got guys
point.
In the playoffs.
It's
that's not.
I think my argument is less
better,
of
you know
the East overall better than the West. So with the point, who's the best conference? I'm about 50-50 on each because your point is correct. I just don't know how you rank conferences. You know, it's a little hard to rank them from top to bottom, or do you rank them from? We have more of really good teams, and you have just some good teams, not really good teams. It is a difficult discussion to have because you can't – it's tough to differentiate. Because, Denver's good. You got OKC, they're good. There's a lot of middle of the pack, the Rockets, Portland.
But I can also see your argument too.
Yeah,
I can see your argument
easily.
Too because you look in the East, you got four teams that could easily make the finals, right? In the West, pretty much everybody. Except,
and it kind of makes you think as well.
Has
gotten better, or have they just lost the king? So it's kind of open for debate, and everybody has a shot now. That could be it too, by illusion, because right. That's a very good point. The SEC wants to brag about how tough their schedule is, but you beat each other up, you're going to make yourself look good eventually. So like you're just beating each other. So obviously, if you hold each other in high regard to begin with, if you beat each other, true. They're all going to look like good wins.
Let me let our listeners know. I am a LeBron. I think LeBron is a great player, right? I gotta say this is our first episode, so I gotta let it know, because I know when people listen to this, I'm gonna come across as a LeBron hater. I'm not a LeBron hater. I think he's a great player. I think he's one of the greatest of all time. I think he's top three all time, in my opinion.
Very much
but
so.
He's become cockier as you know. His career turned. Didn't he say those exact words? Was
really
the East is up for grabs because I'm not there. He said those exact words, I believe.
I mean, something that's some like stuff that.
The
that
East is up for grabs because I'm not there.
That's you're right. Very I, mean, I agree with that for sure.
I don't think LeBron would have said that before.
He believes that he's the king. I mean, he really does believe that.
He believes he's the,
I don't know.
I think
man.
he thinks he's the best.
That's tough there because, so you know, we still have, he still has a couple chapters left to be written, depending on what free agency holds. But I'm excited to see, and this is kind of shifting from west, east to west, to just the Lakers, but I'm excited to see how the second half goes and how they do in the playoffs to see if we still have prime Bron or if he really has taken a step back. They have to. I mean, they will. I think they will. Just because the Kings playoffs. Are young. But the Kings do have a squad, but the Kings are young. And, I mean, I think the Clippers, they sold too much. And the Spurs, I don't know. I think they'll find a way to get in to the playoffs. But, again, we're going to find out how good LeBron is because, like we've seen from the past couple of weeks with everybody being on the trade block, the locker room can't be a very comfortable place to be. Not a lot of happy faces, I'm sure. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they bond together and which guys buy in, which guys have already, you know, sold out, and see if they can make a run for it. But we're going to see a lot about the health and the level of career, the part of the career that LeBron is really in with this second half of the year. It's going to be very stressful for him.
And that's one way of looking at it, but another way to look at it is like, man, the guy before you was Kobe Bryant. If you come in your first year and you don't make the playoffs,
and what kills me is,
do you know how much criticism he's going to receive? Like, he's already getting chances. Kobe's better chance from other teams.
Kobe like, wasn't better his already, first year. I guarantee Kobe was you that. But I, but like, that's not the same.
I don't know, man.
That's Kobe's first year in the league, but in LeBron's 16th or something. But it's hard to say because this team is very young around him, and he missed almost a month in one of the most important parts of the season, especially for teams in the middle of the pack. It's inevitable.
Oh, yeah. I'm not right. saying it's inevitable. I would give the it's going to happen. But I'm saying that
it's just something
there's going to be
has,
people who will.
You know, has to ignore, and he will because he has his whole career. He's heard it all. And it's just going to be, we'll find out and figure it out on the court. I think they're probably going to end up pulling Golden State in the first round. And I think, if the NBA has anything to do with it, they'll make that happen because that'll boost the first-round ratings like crazy. So we'll see how the second half of the NBA turns out. And we'll be talking.
Oh, yeah. That would be necessary. Oh, one more thing I wanted to point out. Tonight, this might be a must-see game. You got Kawhi Leonard. Who you got? You got DeMar DeRozan coming back.
It's his
back
first game back in Toronto?
To Toronto. First game back in Toronto.
Really?
Since being traded to the Spurs. So that's a good game. I think he's going to try to go off tonight.
For sure.
I think he's going to try to go off tonight. The Spurs deal with Kawhi on the other end.
I would say so. Yeah, I mean, I would say.
Do they put DeMar DeRozan on him? That type of situation.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a good game. It seems like every game means something now. down the stretch. Every game matters.
It's just something I wanted to point out.
Especially if you're wearing yellow.
Especially if you're in the playoffs. Right?
So, all right. We'll have a lot more basketball talk here in the next couple of weeks as we get into the playoff run, playoff stretch, and then eventually the playoffs. But we're going to switch over to a football side of things. Wayne, you want to introduce our third topic of the day?
This is a topic that I felt like we had to talk about today. I felt like it was a must because you don't know the situation and anything could change probably in the coming days. But my man, in my opinion, the best wide receiver in football. I know this might be a little hot take. I don't know. Some people may say a different guy, but I think he's the best wide receiver in football. Antonio Brown has been going crazy on Twitter, pretty much saying, I'm talking about Big Ben, talking about Steelers organization and how they deal with things over there and how he wants to play for a team that's about winning and no haters in the locker room and things like that. Of like, he's really letting it out about how he feels about the people he played with and things like that. So I think, my opinion, who do you think is to blame for the Steelers not being able to reach their goal? Do you think it's Antonio Brown?
By reach their goal, you mean,
or do
by
you think it's
need succeed and by
others
by
like
win,
Big Ben,
or
maybe
by
like many people had Steelers at least going to the Super Bowl, and they were unable to do that with, you know, with that core,
yeah, well,
core
this year,
group of Le'Veon Bell.
It's going to be, I mean,
Antonio
I would give
Brown,
him a little bit more of a
Big
pass
Ben,
with
you know?
Le'Veon being out, but in the past, I mean, you've, oh, no, 100%. No, that's
I still think
fact.
This was a
I'm
good enough
saying,
team to make the playoffs.
We're going to talk about, you know, why this team didn't win the Super Bowl. You know, that's a little bit of a tough stretch to guarantee in the NFL ever. But yeah. But if you're talking in a span of, yeah, they've had a lot of talent.
I 100% agree with you.
And they really have not – they haven't won a Super Bowl since before all this talent. Since – exactly. So – and that may have something to do with it.
A lot of expectations.
You know, you've always had – back in the day whenever they had the other offensive weapons, Hines Ward, Antonio Holmes, Mike Wallace. I mean, you look at the wide receivers that Big Ben's had to throw to – he's always had him. I mean, shoot, they had at the beginning of his career, Antonio Brown was matched up with Emmanuel Sanders.
That is and I wanted to
exactly
point out that is another receiver who called out Big Ben on his way out of Pittsburgh. So I'm trying to figure out.
And you know what I've noticed about all
Antonio
these players
Brown saying
they
these
had a
about
short
Big
stint.
Ben. Is it,
other than Hines Ward,
is it,
they had a short stint in Pittsburgh. Because you had Santonio Holmes in, he won, he's out. You had Mike Wallace in, he won, he's out. And you got these other guys and at those skill position players. And
yeah, it's true.
There's one common denominator of everything, and I think it is Big Ben. There's ways to handle things and there's ways not to handle things. So I think they share a little bit of the blame as far as the way that the situation has turned out with AB ended up requesting a trade and not talking to the owners and eventually going and talking to the owners. But I want to make a point about Big Ben being an elite quarterback, or if he is an elite quarterback. The difference between the teams he's had in recent years with Le'Veon, the defenses haven't been – or I'm sorry, Antonio Brown and Le'Veon. The defenses have not been as dominant as they were back in his earlier days. Big Ben's always had weapons around him, and that's you can't say that about a lot of NFL quarterbacks, even the successful ones, that they've always had really good weapons around them. Big Ben had really good weapons and a really good defense for a number of years, and he was lucky enough to be there to win two Super Bowls during that time. And since the defense has started pulling them all over, retired, and you know all of their legends retired, and the defense started getting a little weaker. Now you got to fall back on Ben's arm, and now they fall back in games, and they're down, and he's got to try and bring them back, and all of a sudden he can't do it. Now is he getting too old, or was he just never down far enough in games in the past to where his deficiencies were able to be shown as a quarterback? So, you know, you've got to look at it that way. He's always had good running backs. He's, you know, always had good wide receivers, decent offensive lines, if not above average offensive lines. So to me, as far as the success goes, I think if you give Aaron Rodgers that same offense, it doesn't matter what the defense looks like. You know, unless it's atrocious, then he's going to make the playoffs every year, and he's going to win at least one Super Bowl with that team. So I think from that standpoint, of a success standpoint, it's got to be put on Ben, considering everybody that's said the things that they've said.
Finally, we got a topic where we disagree, though, because I feel like by Big Ben, by all this happening and Big Ben not saying anything, it's falling back on Antonio Brown. I feel like people are now looking at Big Ben as, you know, Hall of Famer. Of course he's a Hall of Famer, no doubt. But they're looking at him like, oh, he's a Hall of Famer quarterback. He has class or things like that. And they're looking at Antonio Brown like troublemaker, diva receiver, all types. You know, I heard Skip Bayless say the other day, I wouldn't want him in my locker room if no matter how much money I had, I wouldn't take him. Like that are just like crazy to say, but they're saying it.
But let me put this in your head, and I was gonna say to follow up with this as well. How many times has acting the way he handled it worked out for any player, especially receiver? When has that gotten you more money? When has that gotten you more respect and more trust from people? That to me is where Antonio Brown went wrong. So because you asked me, who do I put the blame on? I, as a football fan, look at it and put the blame on someone that has been a constant there and can't perform whenever it comes down onto him and onto his shoulders, is what I mean, on the field.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is, so no, I think Antonio Brown is his fault? No, I don't necessarily think it's his fault. But do I think Antonio Brown deserves to get treated and have the reputation that he has? It may be a little bit dramatized, but at the end of the day, he acted the way he acted. He posted on Twitter. He did the unprofessional way, and he's going to be labeled as an unprofessional player now. That's on you, bro. I mean, that's the way I see that. Now, do I think he is a terrible person? I think if you strap him up, he wants to win more than anything else. So do I think he'll get signed and get traded for and get his contract? Absolutely. Somebody will pay him. But I think he's definitely – to say he's not worth it is foolish. That I don't want him in my locker room, that's foolish. Because he's a game changer.
Yeah, that point goes too far. But I think when people – I don't know. When people think of Antonio Brown, I just don't want it to be – oh man, he wasn't. Because not every receiver is the same.
You don't want him to CTO.
Yeah, I don't want him to CTO. But at the same time, if they saw TO, then that's a Hall of Famer too,
right? I mean, remember
he got cheated. He should have been in the Hall of Fame. We all know that. Mm-hmm. As far as his numbers go, like men lie, women lie. Numbers.
He could have broke records if he wanted to stay in the league. He could probably still play.
Oh, yeah, he's just that much of a freak athlete. But I understand what people talking about the diva receiver. But everybody's not Larry Fitzgerald. You know what I'm saying? Larry Fitzgerald is the only guy. Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson, the only two receivers I know that was so classy, that never said anything about their quarterback, that never, you know? Them the only two guys I can think of off the top of my head. Even Thielen this year was going off at Kirk Cousins.
And it's a man's game, bro. And that's it right there. Like, to me, it's the way that he went AWOL. That's where I have an issue with it as far as employing you. You know what I mean?
I have an issue with that too.
For me, as the standpoint of as a fan, I don't really care what he does. I mean, you can do it. Yeah, you can do whatever.
That part we agree on.
I don't care what you do. I mean, I obviously don't want you doing some dumb stuff, but like at the same time, you're a grown man. If you feel like you're being wronged, I'm not going to sit here and say you're being a diva for standing up for yourself.
That's the part I agree with you about, because at the same time, it's like, come on, you're a professional athlete. Now is to a situation, you got a problem with your quarterback. Okay, cool. But now you're making the teammates look a certain way. Now they think that you're not really about the team, you about yourself. It comes off that way when you don't play in the last game to make the playoffs and you don't show up to, they say you didn't show up to practice or something like that. You came late. You're not showing the meaning, things like that. It does look away. Now, so I wanted to, maybe we could probably end this in the podcast on this, but do you think he goes to San Francisco or do you see him somewhere?
Well, I mean, I think San Francisco will give the Steelers what they want for him. So I see that as a good fit, being in the NFC.
I got this theory that the Steelers won't trade any team in the NFC. Any team that they think they're going to see him in the playoffs, they won't trade.
Yeah, they want to see him once every 4 years.
Yeah, so San Fran probably a good fit. Me being a Lions fan, I would love to see
him. I was listening to Fox Sports Radio, and they were talking about how the Panthers would be a perfect fit. Because you look at the division, and they got Julio, they got Michael Thomas, and then you got Mike Evans, and we have DJ Moore. So... need a star receiver.
Yeah, you need a star receiver.
He and is don't good. Disrespect no, I'm DJ very excited Moore. To he's see a what great he does receiver, next year, for sure. But
yeah, Antonio Brown would fit perfectly.
That would put us group. In the you contention.
If you ask me, that's what? That's three top five receivers? Would you put Michael Thomas top five? Julio AB for sure, but Michael Thomas, would he make your top five? That might be the three top five receivers.
He's based on this year, I'm putting right him now.
In there, baby. We talking about currently.
So
that last game, you know, is a little
know.
Bit.
We'll see,
you know,
we'll see where AB goes.
What you think? Do you think?
No, I think that definitely makes him
any
better.
Any team he goes to,
any team,
he makes them instantly better.
Just having a weapon right there, because he's such a possession receiver too. It's not like he's a big play threat where you got to have the right guy to get it to him. He's gonna take two steps, get him the ball, let him work. And that's the type of guy that he is. He's an instant impact type of player because you can get him the ball six, seven, eight times in a game with no problem. So I think definitely any team he improves. I just think it's definitely an NFC team. Hopefully the Panthers or the Lions. I wouldn't be mad at the Lions.
Yeah, Matthew Stafford. Can we finally get him another replacement for Calvin Johnson, please? Even though I love Galladay. But we need to go back to that, you know, let Matthew Stafford throw for 5,000
yards,
man. That's when it's their defense, that's when they're
if you have any defense at all, it'll help.
But
they're 40 up a week and hope they only score 30.
Right. That's what the Chiefs doing. That's exactly what the Chiefs doing. They're just throwing up 40, and we're banking on
it works until Bill Belichick.
That's what they're banking on. And I can't argue with that. I love that.
Yeah.
It's great for the fans.
Yeah, exactly.
Until you run into Bill Belichick.
But if
you're
in the NFC, you ain't got to see Bill Belichick, you
know, until the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I had one more question I wanted to ask. Should we go back to the NBA or should we stay on football? It's up to you. I always like that. I want to end our podcast on like type of a debate that most people debate every day. Well, not every day, but like a barbershop debate about sports. So,
let's I'm gonna go back do basketball.
I think
quick.
Football or basketball. So, do you, I want to ask this question? Do you think LeBron James,
will
win a ring with the Lakers?
That's impossible for me to answer at this point. I can answer you that question at the end of the summer. I'll be able to answer.
No, it's just different.
If they get, I hope they get Kyrie.
Because you think they
I really,
get,
I mean, I would like to see Davis. Anthony Davis, but I really want Kyrie, and I think they could get somebody else too, whether it be Anthony Davis and Kyrie, that'd be amazing. But I think that first off, I don't know that they're gonna, trade for Anthony Davis in the offseason. They might wait because they've already offered so much.
They might wait.
Honestly, I don't think they're gonna offer the same thing over the summer because they have all the leverage at that point. Yeah, so that's why I don't know that they're going to get him this offseason.
To give them the same.
So I think Kyrie, and you just got to get shooters in there. I don't know what Magic's doing, but LeBron needs shooters around him to be successful. Klay's a free agent.
Kevin Durant's a free agent.
So, but Clay said he's staying. I think Clay's staying in Golden State.
I'm telling you, man. That's why I have this theory, man.
LeBron, I have a theory James that Steph and Clay will never play on the same team.
I really believe that. So
I think the Splash Brothers are never gonna leave Golden State.
Ooh.
I would love it too, because it would be cool to see other players move around and them still be there. Nice team to stay together. Still trying, you know. You know what we got? We got it every year, and we're gonna give it to you and see if you can beat us. You know what I'm saying? And you know they're gonna sign somebody else too, even if they re-sign Boogie if KD leaves. That would be a nice team as well.
Yeah, I keep hearing this KD to New York, but to be honest, if KD went to LA with LeBron, dude. Man. You want to talk about selling out every night? Oh my god!
There would just be guys standing KD on the LeBron wing, just wide open all
nuts,
the time.
Nuts, man, insane. But
yeah, just unguardable right. With the five players. Oh, they have to.
You want to talk about unfair? Oh man,
just to guard them both.
Exactly. Recently, Damian Lillard came out and somebody asked him a question about super team, and he said. He would rather not play on the super team. He said he wants
even more into that. What he said, actually, I read the article. What he said,
I love that type.
What he's built in Portland is more important in the community to him.
You read it,
and he doesn't want to uproot everything that he's done and built there just so he can go win a ring. And that, to me, speaks even more to his character and the fact that you know I got stuff going on in Portland. For the community, for the kids and everybody else, I'd rather not just get up and go clear across the country and leave all this stuff here. You know, that's awesome. That right there is using your platform to the right for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
And it's kind of like Portland's nice. Right? He'll be a hero in Portland.
I heard Portland has good beer.
Arguably, probably the greatest player ever.
Yeah, you have to go watch the Trailblazers.
We might have to take a trip there one time.
Yeah, they have. Who'd they get? Enos Kanter.
Get Trailblazers OKC.
It was. You see his Instagram post.
Oh, that was a good pickup.
He says, "So this is what it's like to win
playoff race.
I can get used to this." Yeah. Well,
everybody bashes the Knicks, man. Man,
I agree. I got
a funny feeling it won't be for long.
I could see Anthony Davis getting traded there for the first pick or for the top five pick.
Yeah, I could too. If it's true what they're saying,
everything
about
we said about KD and LeBron, we
I
can
don't
say
know,
about
man. Won't,
KD
they won't be AD. Losing for long. I can guarantee that.
Yeah. Yeah, longest wingspan in NBA history.
Definitely. You want to talk about long, that'd be super long.
Definitely. It was a good first episode.
I think that's a good topic to close it out on.
I hope if you guys have any comments or anything or suggestions to better our show, reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or anything. Anything else you have to say, Wayne?
Well, basically the same thing, you know. If you've got any questions, comments, things we could be better on. It's the first podcast, so we're definitely going to get better. So anything you
guys
appreciate
you guys
want us to talk about
like I said, we're going to try to get a couple of these out a week since we're going to keep them about 45 minutes to an hour, so they're not too long. We can put out a couple out a week. So, again, thanks for listening to the Lane and Wayne podcast.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget.